Mosaic.
Hello, family. My name is Brian. I'm an addict. Mosaic. Looking back on my life to tell you this story, I can see that individual situations that seem to have no connection interweave to become part of one picture, like a mosaic made whole from small fragments. I grew up in a Southern Republic of the Soviet Union. I don't remember any significant commotions in my childhood. My first disappointments came from girls. I was short. One simply told me, "First you have to get taller, then we might be friends." I thought I had to prove my adequacy. Constant street fights and conflicts with my teachers and parents made life pretty extreme. Feelings were too much for me. My scandalous reputation led me to bad company where drugs and crime were used as medication to avoid reality. By the time I was 18, my addiction was obvious. I tried repeatedly to solve the problem with medical help without success. Military service was compulsory, but those who had health problems, including active addiction, could have an exemption. I willingly went into the army because I thought it would solve my problems with the law and drugs. I met other addicts and they told me where I could find drugs. My service became the endless search for drugs and money. I gathered opium in the poppy fields and stole money in town. In the fall, there was no opium in the fields. In desperation, I robbed the pharmacy and was caught by the police. At 26, I was released from jail for a second time. Major changes had happened while I was in prison. The Soviet Union had fallen apart and my parents had moved away to Russia. It was clear I had to change too, as soon as possible. My relatives tried to help me. I was baptized and moved as well, but neither religion nor geographical changes solved my problems. The new town was only 50 years old, and living there, I was depressed and melancholy. I felt like I was forever separated from my motherland and my friends. I met a girl and I devoted myself completely to her. When she left, I could not overcome the pain. Again, my life became a vicious circle of crime and using. I ended up with another jail sentence. After that, there was another try to start my life over again, but I woke up in intensive care, hooked up to a ventilator, and understood that I had been in a coma after another overdose. As soon as I was discharged from the hospital, I was back on the streets, looking for drugs and money. My interrogating officer let me go until sentencing under the pledge not to leave town. My first thought was to go into hiding, but the life I was leading wasn't worth much effort. I was calm when I went to court and I received a surprisingly brief sentence. I continued to use in prison until I realized that I hadn't willingly surrendered to the authorities just to get high. That night, I collected all the drugs I had left and threw everything away. I made a firm decision to quit using. I had my first sincere prayer experience. It was not religious, but in my own words, I asked God to help me. I was ashamed to ask to be rescued from the results of my own actions. I believed that many people who suffered from my actions needed God's help much more than me. I asked God to help all people to solve their problems. Soon I was paroled. I was shocked when I started using the first day I was released. It started with one drink. I reached my bottom within 4 months. I got so scared that I stopped again. I met an old friend and she invited me to go to Narcotics Anonymous with her. The girl was pretty, so I said yes. I was not impressed by the meeting. When the secretary announced the first step was the topic, I was surprised. I thought they were all still on the first step. I didn't realize that this topic was for me. I was sure that my clean time was the result of my willpower. I stopped going to meetings and soon I was back to using. My next treatment was not easy. The doctors thought I was incurable. I was totally discouraged. One day I was talking with another patient about Narcotics Anonymous when some of the people I saw at my first meeting came in. They were full of energy and sincerely tried to help. At that time, the NA fellowship in my city was just 7 months old. There was only one copy of the basic text and they left it for us in the hospital. I read it almost cover to cover. The visit from NA members and reading the book had an effect on me. I started to work my first step. I wrote down the most vivid evidence of serious problems, but when the time came to acknowledge my powerlessness and unmanageability, I flatly refused to write about it, thinking that it was absolute nonsense. I asked everybody to explain why this step was worded this way. Maybe it was a mistake. Explanations didn't help until I realized that all my life I had dreamt of being healthy, rich, living in a beautiful house in the city. I dreamt of love and always wanted to be sophisticated. But in fact, I had ruined health, a criminal record, and social instability. And at that moment, I was in a hospital of a certain kind, which speaks for itself. It was the first time I could see the difference between my dreams and reality. What I learned stunned me. I gave up. All my attempts to control my condition had been worthless. My first step helped me face my fears. I started attending NA meetings regularly. I didn't have any more problems recognizing my powerlessness and insanity. It was the right time to ask for help. I tried to apply everything I heard in meetings. Besides going to meetings every day, I wrote my steps, talked with my sponsor, shared honestly, and analyzed my day and my feelings in the evening. It worked. My life started to change. Most surprising was the way I felt. I gained confidence and inner strength, backbone. Those principles that I heard in meetings were beyond doubt for me. The third step confused me. I needed to turn my will and life over to the care of God. I thought I could never achieve such readiness and faith. I talked about it with other NA members. Not saying a word about religion, they shared about God, love, and the perspective that emerges in the third step. I couldn't understand what they were telling me. I wrote about it, attended meetings, and thought a lot about the concept of turning my life over to the care of God. Meanwhile, I got into a conflict involving a girl I had feelings for and another person. I was ready to take drastic action to solve the conflict. Instead, I decided to trust my God and waited for the results with great interest. My relations with my friend didn't revive and the girl stopped talking to me, but I experienced amazing tranquility. I found out that I am able to be above my impulses and live without doing harm to myself or people around me. The experience taught me to be honest in seeking my goals and to leave the results in God's hands. My home group was pretty young, and sometimes we had meetings with only two people present. When we had questions, we called other cities. I attended conventions of neighboring NA communities. The group grew a little, and then there were a series of relapses, and again, the group became really small. I had been close to those who relapsed. I couldn't understand why it happened. If there are no guarantees, what's the point of recovery? I was not satisfied with the answer I heard. I was depressed for weeks. One day, sitting by myself in a meeting room, I noticed the walls were covered with scraps of paper and that nobody cleaned the floor for a while. The books we used were in poor condition, and some of the literature wasn't related to our fellowship. I thought I had found a reason for relapses. People didn't get what they came here for because we were not ready to give it to them. I started coming earlier to clean the floor. For decoration, I chose key phrases from our literature. We need to understand why the development of the group slowed down, and my need to understand why the development of the group slowed down pushed me into studying the traditions. I started to understand that my service was not only for my friends. There are those who don't have the opportunity for change, and we can give them this chance. Reading about the creation of the basic text, I learned the principles of service. The words, with gratitude, love, and dedication, were a call for action. Understanding the necessity of personal recovery, I continued working the steps. Afraid of the fourth step, I took precautions. Ordering a small wooden box, cut a furniture lock into it, kept my notebook with the inventory in that box, and carried the key with me all the time. The fourth step allowed me to see the true reasons for my actions, which were not always pleasant. Sometimes when I analyzed yet another resentment that was so similar to the previous ones, it hurt. I started to lose the point of what I was doing. But trust in my higher power and the program helped me to move forward. From experience, I knew that pauses in working the steps can be dangerous. I knew I had to write regularly, even if in small portions, but to write. When I was working the fourth step, I started looking for someone to work the fifth step with. I asked God for help and my prayers were heard. A person I recognized from another city's group anniversary came to our group anniversary. He shared his experience of the sixth step. After I described my situation to him, He shared his experience of working steps 4 and 5, and we made a plan to meet. My new sponsor listened to me the whole night. When I was done reading the last page, he said that he understood my feelings and shared about similar situations he had had. Nevertheless, he noted that in his opinion, I was not thorough enough in one area. He recommended that I write more and that I study and write some more. To start writing again, I needed to overcome my fear of my listener's opinion. I came to understand that confession to myself and God is not any less important than sharing with another person, and that person suffered because of my fear of being misunderstood. The next meeting was very productive. He asked me, "What are your feelings from the work you have done?" I said, "I'm not just a drug addict. I have an addictive personality. My sexual life has the same symptoms of addiction as when I use drugs. While working a 6-step, I practiced such principles as self-acceptance and honest recognition of the character defects that were at the core of any conflict, internal or external. Understanding the need to move forward, I started the 7th step. I was sure that I was entirely ready, but I didn't notice changes in my behavior and thinking. I realized that my desire to get rid of the character defects expressed in words on paper did not always have agreement in my heart. I went back to the 6th step and then worked the 7th step again. I needed more than a year to understand the choices made in steps 6 and 7. These discoveries were the beginning of a new relationship with God. Now, in the 5th year of my clean life, I understand it is necessary to take responsibility for my actions. The 8th step, no matter how much I want to delay it, is a landmark in my recovery, providing that I am on the right track. Sometimes I have moments in my recovery when it seems that all my efforts are in vain. Reality makes me despair. The words of my friends don't comfort. Meetings seem annoying, and the prayer is not sincere. In such situations, I try to live through the feelings, and life goes on. People trust me, professional activities bring satisfaction, new perspectives appear, and love comes with time. My recovery is not just a series of senseless coincidences. Whether I am engaged on a service committee or practicing the 12th step or simply living the program, I find values inside myself which would be impossible to replace with something external. My life is a mosaic, and Narcotics Anonymous is the structure and foundation of that mosaic. Each time I look at my life, I see more pieces being added to that mosaic, and a bigger picture becomes visible, as well as the greatness of the one who has made beauty from the broken pieces, the God of my understanding.
Thank you, Brian. Live from the California Redwoods. So at this time, I'd like to introduce first our interpreter, Stella B., and then also our author, Dimitri, who I believe lives on the outskirts of Moscow. This is kind of a special deal. We've spent a little bit of time practicing on Zoom to try to get this right. And so I just really appreciate both of their willingness and service to do this. So Stella and Dimitri.
Дмитрий.
Привет, меня зовут Дмитрий, я зависимый.
Hi, my name is Dmitry, I'm an addict.
Я живу в России, мне сейчас 50 лет, и 18 лет я чистый.
I live in Russia, I'm now 50 years old, and I have 18 years of clean time.
Когда я писал свою историю, я даже не думал, что будет какой-то результат.
When I was writing my story, I didn't expect any results.
А сегодня я услышал ее на английском языке.
And today I hear it in English.
Спасибо за внимание к моему выздоровлению.
Thank you for attention for my recovery.
За последние 13 лет произошло много событий, которых нету в книге, которые я не писал в своей истории. И об этом я хочу рассказать.
The last 18 years many things happened, which is not in my story, and I'm gonna try to talk about it, all these events.
Как я и писал в своем рассказе, когда я пришел в сообщество, я начал очень активно выздоравливать.
Just like I said in my story, when I came into DNA, I started very actively in participating in everything DNA provided.
В моем городе была одна группа, очень маленькая.
In my city, we just had only one small group of NA.
У нас не было литературы, не было спонсоров, не было структуры обслуживания.
We didn't have any literature, we didn't have sponsors, we didn't have any structure.
Для того, чтобы попасть на другую группу, нужно было проехать 250 километров. И в нашем городе был всего один базовый текст.
To get into the another meeting, you had to travel like 250 kilometers, and then we only had one basic text.
Несмотря на это, те люди, которые встретили меня в сообществе, они смогли донести до меня идеи анонимных наркоманов.
In spite of this, people who met me in NA, in spite of these difficulties, NA people could actually deliver the message of NA to me.
Я пришел, мне было 32 года, я уже был сформированный, но я очень хорошо понял, что невозможно выздоравливать, если сохранить старый образ жизни.
When I joined NA, I was already 32 years old, and I was basically a formed human being. But I realized at this point that without a basic changes, the recovery is going to be impossible for me.
Поэтому я выполнял все рекомендации, которые я услышал в сообществе, для того, чтобы начать новую жизнь.
So this is why I would follow any recommendations of the fellowship, so to I could start a new life.
Я каждый день писал самоанализ, я регулярно писал шаги, каждый день ходил на собрания, и у меня был спонсор.
So I, every day I would do a self-inventory, I would write steps, and I did have a sponsor.
Когда у меня было 6 месяцев чистоты, мой спонсор сказал мне, что у нас в городе освободилась вакансия секретаря группы.
When I had 6 months clean, my sponsor told me that we have a position of secretary in the meeting.
И меня выбрали на эту должность, и для того, чтобы быть хорошим секретарем, я начал учить традиции.
So I was chosen, you know, I volunteered and I was chosen to be a secretary in this meeting. And to be a good secretary, I started learning traditions of NA.
Когда у меня был год чистого времени, меня выбрали на должность члена регионального комитета, чтобы я представлял наш город в региональном комитете обслуживания.
So when I was 1 year clean, I was chosen to represent my town where I was recovering in the regional service for Western Russia. So I was a representative after 1 year.
Когда у меня было 2 года, я стал заниматься служением в подкомитете по связям с общественностью.
So when I had 2 years clean, I was participating in a PI communication with the public relations committee.
И я по-прежнему продолжал писать шаги, ходить на собрания, проводить малые группы, и у меня были подспонсорные.
I was still keep coming to the meetings, and I was, you know, chairing meetings, and I did have sponsors, and be an active participant in all the NA day by day life.
Когда у меня заканчивался второй срок служения в этом комитете, я вдруг почувствовал, мне показалось, что я устал от выздоровления.
Well, when my second term in this service was coming to an end, all of a sudden I felt like I got tired of commitment of the service.
У меня была хорошая работа, хороший заработок, у меня были взаимоотношения с девушкой, было хобби, и мне показалось, что у меня есть возможность чуть меньше работать по программе.
Well, at this point I was very well off. I had a good job. I had a nice, beautiful car. I had a girlfriend, so my life was quite good. And it seemed to me that I can ease my attachment to NA. I can, not as participate as much as I used to participate.
Я стал реже ходить на собрания, стал нечасто писать шаги, но у меня оставались подспонсорные, но я думал, что у меня хорошая база, и со мной ничего не случится плохого.
So I started to go to meetings more, less and less often, and I almost stopped writing steps. I still had sponsors, but I was thinking that I have such a great basis to begin with that nothing is going to happen to me. Nothing can shatter my recovery.
Однажды в моем городе был юбилей моего сообщества, и мы с девушкой собрались на этот праздник.
Once there was a celebration of my home group, and me and my girlfriend decided to join the celebration. We were going to this meeting.
Неожиданно для себя я вдруг понял, что это было единственное собрание, которое я посетил в том году.
All of a sudden, I realized that that was the only meeting which I attended in the whole year.
Несколько лет, 3 или 4 года, я пребывал в таком состоянии. Я редко ходил в сообщество и редко писал шаги.
In the next 3 to 4 years, that was my basically participation, and it was very rarely that I would attend the meeting or try to do steps.
В 2014 году в моей жизни произошел личный кризис. Мои взаимоотношения с девушкой зашли в тупик, и мы перестали жить вместе.
In the year 2014, there was a personal crisis in my life. My relationship with my girlfriend deteriorated, and we separated with my girlfriend.
Я испытал очень тяжелые чувства, как будто я только что пришел в сообщество, у меня было одиночество, я был очень расстроен. Это было болезненно для меня.
So I had all those, very heavy feelings, and it seemed to me like I was just in the beginning of my recovery when I just joined NA. So I felt very lonely, very disappointed, and hopeless.
Я сильно переживал и плохо спал по ночам. Я почти не спал.
I was suffering and I couldn't sleep at night. I almost didn't sleep at all.
Однажды ночью, в 3 часа ночи, я вспомнил, что у нас на кухне стоит медицинский спирт. Моя девушка, когда болела ангиной, она делала компресс на горло.
Once in those sleepless nights, I remember that in the kitchen we have an alcohol like medical use. It's 99% alcohol, which my girlfriend used to swish her throat when she had a sickness. So I remember those.
Я был настолько потерян, что я понял, что я не контролирую свою жизнь, и что если я не начну применять то, что я делал в начале выздоровления, у меня могут быть проблемы, о которых я даже не подозреваю.
So I was so lost that I realized that if I don't review my attitude to recovery, then I can encounter problems which I cannot even imagine for right now.
Я пошел на кухню в ту ночь, взял эту бутылку, выливал ее в раковину, и у меня тряслись руки.
So I went to this to the kitchen. I picked up the bottle and my hands were shaking, and I did throw the content of this into the toilet.
На следующий день я решил съездить на собрание.
Next day I went to this to the meeting, overnight meeting.
Я приехал на свою группу, и там был цифровой замок. Я стоял, нажимал цифры, чтобы зайти туда.
So the, when I arrived to the meeting, there was a door where you had to put the pin in to get in. So I was standing and trying to remember the code to get into the meeting room.
У меня были тяжелые чувства, мне показалось, что это унижение, потому что я не могу контролировать вообще свою жизнь и вынужден снова ходить на собрание.
So I felt really humiliated, and it seemed to me that I cannot control my life at all, and I have to come back to these meetings again, and I was really disappointed about it.
Я вот нечаянно повернулся назад и увидел высокий дом. Я вспомнил, что когда я употреблял наркотики, я лежал в этом доме в коме, в чужой квартире. У меня была передозировка.
So all of a sudden I turned back from the door and from this code of what I was dialing, and I did see a building behind me, and I had a flash, a memory that I was laying in this building in somebody else's apartment in a comatose state, overdosed.
Я тогда понял, что либо я иду прямо в сообщество, которое мне раньше помогло, либо я пойду назад, и там меня ждет деградация.
So I realized at this point that whether I'm going straight through the door into the NA or I'm going back to this life where I was going to die, basically to overdose and die.
Я начал активно работать по шагам снова, и однажды я поехал к своему спонсору, чтобы обсудить с ним восьмой шаг.
So I started to go through the steps again, and one day I traveled to my sponsor to discuss with my sponsor step 8.
Мой спонсор жил 250 километров от меня.
My sponsor lived 250 miles from me.
Я сел на машину.
Kilometers.
Я сел на машину, поехал. Это была осень, очень узкая дорога, и неожиданно я заметил, что дорога блестит, на ней был лед.
So I got into the car and I was driving on the road, and all of a sudden I noticed that the road was like sparkling. It was an ice on the road.
Я посмотрел на спидометр и понял, что я еду по скользкой дороге со скоростью 160 километров в час.
I looked, the my speedometer, and I could see that I am driving with 160 kilometers an hour on ice.
Вечером я вернулся на свою группу, и там читали тему из ежедневника.
When I came back to the meeting, there was a book people were writing from.
И в этой теме говорилось о том, что в выздоровлении нельзя терять бдительность.
So in this particular day, there was a topic that when you in recovery, you cannot lose vigilance. You cannot lose the vigilance.
Я тогда понял, что сначала я теряю бдительность в выздоровлении, а потом моя жизнь приходит в опасность.
So I realized that first I lose my vigilance in recovery, and then my life, I put my life in danger. Then my life becomes very risky.
На одном из собраний я услышал одно высказывание, в котором парень рассказывал, как он работает по шагам.
In one of the meetings, I did hear a newcomer, a guy who was talking about how he is writing his steps.
Он говорил, что он после собрания приходит домой, и ему очень не хочется писать шаги, но он усилием воли заставлял себя каждый день это делать.
And he was talking about how he comes exhausted home after work day and how hard for him it was to write the steps, to make himself to write the steps after work.
И тогда я понял, что это то, что я давно хотел услышать. Это было сказано для меня.
And at this point, I knew this is what I wanted to hear a long time ago, and this was set for me. These words were for me.
В тот день я пришел домой, снял верхнюю одежду, снял обувь и пошел туда, где лежала моя тетрадь.
So this day I came home, I took my clothes, I took my winter clothes off and my hat off and my shoes, and I went straight to the table where was my book, the steps.
На следующий день я сделал то же самое. Первое, что я сделал дома, это начал писать шаги.
The next day I did the same thing. The first thing, which I got home, was not taking the shower, but, you know, going straight to the table and writing my steps.
Несколько месяцев я практиковал этот подход. Сначала я писал шаг, а потом я уже шел ужинать, в душ и читал новости.
So a few months I was doing this routine thing. I would come home, the first thing I do, I go straight to the table, I write my steps, and then I, you know, take a shower, I watch the news, and I mean, relax and eat and so on.
Прошло 4 года, с того времени я по-прежнему каждый день пишу самоанализ в рамках 10-го шага.
It's been since 4 years, and I am still doing self-inventory every day, like the 10 steps teaches us.
Я, конечно же, потом работал по 11-му шагу, и у меня появилось много опыта медитации. Я стараюсь каждый день практиковать медитацию.
Of course, I am doing the step 11 as well, and I have quite a bit of experience now in meditation, and I try to meditate every day.
Я также работал по 12-му шагу, который как будто бы подвел черту под всеми предыдущими шагами.
So I'm also working, and I worked, and I'm still working on the 12th step. And the 12th step looked like a culmination, like the final for all the previous steps, which I was working on.
Я по-прежнему придерживаюсь такого вывода, что если я признаю в себе смертельное, неизлечимое и прогрессирующее заболевание, то я должен капитулировать.
So I still firmly believe that If I accept that I have a disease which is going to lead to my death, my destruction and death, I have to surrender. I have to, to surrender.
Если мое заболевание смертельное, значит, я не могу рисковать. Если оно неизлечимое и прогрессирующее, значит, я ежедневно должен что-то делать.
So if my disease is progressive, incurable, and I can die from this, so I cannot risk it. I cannot risk. I have to be consistent with my recovery.
Я бы даже сказал, я должен прилагать максимум усилий ежедневно.
I have to put maximum efforts on a daily basis.
И тогда позволяет не просто остановить заболевание, но двигаться вперед в развитии.
So this way I not only can stay in recovery, but move away move forward in recovery.
Те люди, которые доверяют моему опыту, мои подспонсорные, они также практикуют такой подход к программе «Ежедневная работа по шагам».
So my sponsors who trust me in recovery, they practice the same way, so they do steps and they work on the recovery on a daily basis.
Глядя на них и слушая то, что они пишут в своих шагах, я еще больше утверждаюсь в этих выводах.
So looking at them and see how it works, I'm more convinced on this way of recovery.
Это помогает мне не только избежать проблем, но быть сосредоточенным и видеть вообще весь путь, который предлагает программа.
So it's not only help me to avoid problems, but it's also gives me an insight and gives me a perspective of how my recovery is going and where is it going.
Цель выздоровления – это духовное пробуждение в результате работы по шагам.
The main purpose of recovery – it's a spiritual awakening as a result of working the steps.
А для чего мне нужно духовное пробуждение? Для моей свободы, но не только для этого.
So why do I need a spiritual awakening? I need it for my personal freedom, but not only for my personal freedom.
Стремясь к духовному пробуждению, я понимаю, что во мне будет больше потенциала для того, чтобы я мог эффективно помогать другим зависимым.
So when I am looking for my personal freedom and my spiritual awakening, I understand that I will get more insight, more strength for helping other addicts to stay clean, stay alive, stay clean.
И это очень большая задача, поэтому она мотивирует на то, чтобы ежедневно делать не просто что-то, а максимум для своего выздоровления.
So this is a big aim. So it motivates me to work really hard on everyday recovery.
Я еще раз благодарю вас за внимание к моему выздоровлению. Спасибо вам.
I again want to say thank you so much for attention to my recovery. Thank you, friends. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri.
Thank you so much.